Hey, Mark, fake banter for the intro.
That's all I know how to do.
Great.
Good to be here.
Welcome to Tuesdays with...
Stories.
Hit her in the face with a surfboard.
And then the duck fell out of his bag.
Surf's up. And she didn't even flush.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Mark Norman and Joe List.
Yeah! This is Tuesdays with Stories, everybody.
Nah, that's terrible.
This is supposed to be cheesy.
My radio is spitting at me.
Hi, we're back.
Hello. Howdy.
Hi, this is what comedy was in the 90s. You could just talk like this and people would fall down laughing.
Yeah, men on film.
Oh.
Remember that? Hated it.
Ain't that going to hurt?
that was big.
It was the best, and it was great. I always talk about that. I tried to do it as a joke about it. I could go to Starbucks and be like, and a coffee for my boyfriend. That was comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they're like, you got it.
Oh, yeah. Remember playing, like, my coach would be like, all right, girls, you know, get up. And you just call people girls and pansy and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was a different time. But
fancy
pants. Just pretending to be gay was hilarious.
Hilarious and even encouraged in some circles. And fat jokes were wide open.
Oh, yeah.
Tubalard, Chubbs, Chunky, Fatso.
I told you one of my favorite Derek lines ever. We took the bus. I've probably told this a million times. We took the bus from Boston to New York. The whole time we were just being gay. I was like, I don't know. And we just stayed in character.
Yeah.
And then we get to New York. We're walking. We're hanging out for about a half hour shopping at wherever. And he goes, look at this one. I go, I think we could probably lose that. And he goes, eh, whatever. It's up to you.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
That is the funniest person. He's willing to keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, whatever you want, it's up to you.
I can keep going if you want.
He's down. He'll talk like this. And yeah, the other great one, we went to the strip club and then no women were coming out. The same thing we had in Vancouver. It might have been that same trip.
Uh-huh.
It was the same trip. And he goes, I'm like, where the fuck? There's no women here. He goes, I know, at least send a guy or something. great line. Then we left the strip club. He goes, that was a long time to pretend to be straight.
So, that's great.
Gay jokes.
Well, it's funny because
they hold up.
They still work. Like, I do them on stage and they work.
Yeah, it's funny.
I mean, I guess it is quote unquote offensive, but they're working with a large crowd, so it's very confusing.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
It's funny. And I think my friend is a big gay, and he's very not stereotypical, and he thinks those people are weird. He's like, why would you talk like that?
Right.
You know, and so that's a whole other wrinkle in the time.
Big bag of tits. All right, what do we got? We got some, this is Q and anal. Did we already say that? We're doing some Q's and some anals.
Yep. Welcome to the Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah, we got some questions. All right, this is from Mark Siggs.
Siggy Marley. Hotel Siggy.
This is about bad shows. Question is, what's going through your mind at the point when you know a set is beyond saving? Have you ever walked off, and is that a breach of contract with the club?
That's definitely a breach. I never do the walk-off.
No. I mean, if it's a comedy club that's paying. Also, I think in our day and age now, I mean, if you're headlining a show, for us anyways, at this point in our careers, it's not going to be walk-off bad.
No. I mean, you'll get a heckler maybe sometimes that won't stop, and you're like, is anybody going to do anything here? And there's no security, so you're like, we got to just either end this or get rid of them. That's probably the worst we have, although I did Gotham last night. I just couldn't get a laugh. I was throwing everything out there. It was one of those, you know, and you get like a, huh. And then the guy in the front row is looking at me weird, and then he just checks his phone, and I'm like, why isn't this? It just wasn't connecting. I felt like a hologram.
Gotham could be great and tough, though.
Yeah, I called him out, then a guy walked away, and I was like, well, he hates it, and that kind of got a laugh, and I'm like, it just, the vibe wasn't, it wasn't connecting somehow. I just couldn't figure it out. You ever have that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's a weird thing. There's weird variables that happen.
Yeah.
The person before, the person, you know, the host, whatever. But, yeah, never walking off. I don't believe in that.
Never done it
you
once.
You just tough it out. It's not great. But I'm never like beyond say. After a while, it's almost funny. You embrace it. You're like, well, this is brutal, and I'm just going to bomb. But we get them every once in a while. But yeah, you just kind of go, whatever. Because you have that thing of like, these jokes work.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not me. It's you guys. And then you just do a lot of like, what the fuck? That ate it. I should kill myself. Yeah. Maybe I'll get a job. My father hates me. Whatever.
Which is one perk of comedy. I think if a musician's up there, just kind of no one's listening, he's just got to keep going. He can't go, hey, guys, what's happening here?
Right.
Whereas we can at least address it.
And the old thing, too, they say, when I was coming up anyways, and they should still say it if they don't. But it's like, even if you're having the worst show ever, it's like 50 minutes
sure.
at worst.
Sure.
Like most people have jobs they hate, and it's 9 o'clock till 5 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a good point. Roofing.
Yeah,
hell.
Exactly. I mean, my like brother-in-law is doing like HVAC. He's like climbing through. His hands are all yeah. sliced up. He's cutting sheet metal in a tube that's 150 degrees.
Right.
It's not like it's 45 minutes and he's like, woo, that was crazy.
Yeah, true, true. Yeah, and we're still standing in air conditioning. I'm holding a beer. So yeah, it's not the end of the world, but it is strange when jokes that worked 10 minutes ago are now bombing horrifically. And I had the thing where I walked on and people went, what are you getting? Like, it's something about me was like, oh, he'll suck. He's boring.
Right.
Let's talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
I get that a lot.
The difference in the job, like manual labor job, is like, if it goes poorly, you're not like, who I am is bad.
True.
I am hated.
True, yes.
I have like, my all my thoughts suck.
Yeah.
Maybe you do. I don't know.
Well, you can blame the gig when you're a roofer or when you're HVC. You know,
right.
You're like, this gig sucks. But when you're on stage, you're like, I suck.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, geez. That and was a serious slam up there.
That was a big slam. That guy was in my audience last night.
All right. From Justin, I know the guys are huge fans of comedy and listen to a lot of it, whether by choice or just being around it all the time. How do they navigate working on material without feeling like somebody has already talked about what they want to talk about?
Well, first of all, you're wrong. I watch very little comedy and listen to very little comedy.
I don't know if I understand. Could you translate that? I don't know if I get
basically,
it.
Basically, it's like, how do you navigate working on material without feeling like someone else has already covered what
you're
going
to say? Oh, I see. That's tough now.
It's hard. It's a lot of, I mean, it's harder than it's ever been, obviously.
Sure.
It's a lot of texting each other going, have you heard anything like this?
Yeah.
But now it's also like, because it's so hard, and there's so much content. There's so many comedians. There's so many TikTok. There's so many fucking sitcoms, specials, TikTok. It becomes a little more like, okay, well, if I'm asking these four comics, they never heard it, that's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If someone's like, actually, that was on the show Elementary 3 years ago.
Right.
You're like, okay, well, I don't know that show and I don't give a fuck.
Right.
So I think it's mostly for us. I don't know, but it's more text you, Sam, Shabba. I mean, Steve Rogers watches a lot. I have friends that watch a lot of comedy. I'm
sure.
Like, have you heard this? Are you sure?
Yeah. But you don't want to get into the habit of, I do the same thing. But you don't want to get in the habit of like a bigger name I won't mention. Huge, giant comic will just come in and do whatever he wants and then leave and not watch any comedy. And then you watch his special a year later and you're like, all of this has been covered.
Yeah,
and
you're,
I know you're huge and maybe the audience is not as comedy savvy. They don't know that. But as a comic, you're sitting there going, I've heard every one of these premises 500 times.
Well, I think their thought is, but I'm this guy.
Yes,
number one guy. But it's not like people are like, oh, you don't have a right to talk about this, or you're not the number one guy. We're just like, I've heard stuff like that.
It's unoriginal.
It's just like, I get it.
Yeah, but even if you were that big arena superstar, you wouldn't want to be that guy.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, they get a lot of, I think it's a lot of hubris and
yes
men around them.
Sure.
It's one of the things that's hard about like getting really successful is it becomes much more difficult for people around you to be like, hey, that's
I guess so
no good.
Uh-huh.
Which I feel like I've had success with as the under person by being like, I don't think that's good.
Yeah.
It's a valuable thing. You need to have people that are like, hey,
you do.
That's not great.
Because it ain't personal. It's help.
Right, of course.
It might sting a little, but it's help.
Of course. So it's tough. But yeah, I actually don't watch very much comedy. In fact, I watch almost no specials because I watched yours.
Wow.
I watched Sam's eventually.
Thanks.
He was upset that I didn't watch it. But it's, I say this all the time, and I've said it a million times. I hate specials because I know how much is lost in translation. It really is a live art form.
Yeah,
it's
it really
just
is.
So difficult because when you watch, it's just happened to me personally a million times. I've watched somebody live, and I'm like, oh my God, you must see this. And then it comes out, or the special comes out as a special, and you're like, because you're not in the audience. You're
watching
an audience watch a show.
Yes.
So That's why I don't like watch. I would much rather try to see a person. If like I'm at the store and they're like Burr's on stage, I'm like, let me scurry down there and see this. And same with the seller. But
you're right; it doesn't translate that well. You lose all. You lose like 40% of the magic with the special.
Of course. And also, we're just on the road so much, so you're like, I see Luke Moniz do comedy. Mm-hmm. That's who I watch do comedy.
Right, right.
And then we're in New York. Often you're running around from spot to spot, you especially, and or you're hanging in the green room.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, what are you doing, buddy? How you been? So it's like we're not sitting in the room. And even on the road, I'm like, I'm not really watching. The MC, I don't really watch
much. No, no.
Just because it's been a long time. I don't want to watch it.
You don't want to watch it. And maybe you're next. So you go down and you happen to see the guy before you's last 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Or there's people, you know, you're like, I got to. Sometimes you watch people because you're like, I got to be part of this conversation. Everyone's shitting on a comic. So I'm
true.
Like, let me see what this is about.
Yeah. And then I tend to, like, a new joke night, you know, at the cellar, they have new joke night where all these comics pile up and put a name on the list is 15 million people long. And I'll sit on the stairs at the Fat Black and I'm like, I guess I'm up in two. I'll watch these guys and just wait till I'm up. If it's good, I tend to like it. I'm like, oh, I like stand-up. I forgot.
Right, right.
It's great. But you forget you like it.
Yeah, there's certain people like Nick Griffin, Daniel Simonson, you know, you're like, oh, I got to go see what they're doing.
Totally. So, yeah, you check with your friends. Some people Google it. Some people put it to Twitter.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you check in. You can only do so much.
Shane's special's coming out. That we'll watch.
Oh, there you go.
You know, you're like, I got to see what Shane's doing.
It's a killer hour. I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, some people, there's usually like 4 or 5 people that you're like, I got to see what he's doing.
Yeah.
But there's not many.
Yeah, Louie has a thing. I'm like, I got to watch Louie's.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I can't believe you watch mine. I'm flattered and appalled.
Well, of course.
The whole thing? That's a lot of comedy.
I watched it in 2 chunks. Oh. I mean, I don't watch anything all the way through. Oppenheimer, I'm still reeling.
Well, I saw your... I've gone to most of your VU tapings. I think 2 out of 3 when I was on the road. But those are fun because I'm in the audience.
I know. The pilot is in the audience. And yes. It's so hard because even when it comes out, you're like, God, you don't know. And then people are like, the audience is fake. This isn't real. And you're like...
God, I love that.
You just wish everyone could be in the room. You have those sets throughout your career that you're like, I wish every member of the industry was in the fucking building right now.
Ah, tell me about it. There's a lot of that.
Then you do a showcase and you're like, that's the worst show I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, and they're there. They're there for that one, yeah.
Exactly.
Good times. Yeah. It's a very frustrating business.
It is.
All right, I'm going to ask this because I think it's funny. From Keith Herbert.
Hey, B.
From Mark, do you always bring your skateboard on the road, which I think is hilarious? And do you know any cities that have surprisingly good places to skate?
Yeah. I don't bring my skateboard. I'm 39 years old, and... I don't want to go skate because I'm bad at it now. So, no, everybody always goes, hey, you got your board? I'm like, why would I have my board? I flew in, I did the gig, and I left.
It's fascinating to me that even with the hours of podcasts, and we were just talking about this before the show, these people can just have a general misunderstanding of who we are as
completely,
people.
Completely. If you bring a board, I'll jump on it and dick around, but I'm not going to fly with it just for the happenstance. I have a hankering for some shredding, you know? So no board. I like boards. I watch skateboarding still. I'm a fan, but no board. And, yeah, I've seen some killer parks. These small towns have great parks, like Asheville, North Carolina, or Springfield, Illinois, or whatever, because it's like suburban out there. So like they build these skate parks. They're incredible. So yeah, I think it's cool, but no, I don't bring it. People do that with Bodega Cat. Hey, you bring any Bodega Cat? I'm like, oh yeah, I paid $600 and shipped gallons of rye to Sioux Falls just in case somebody might want to buy a bottle. What are you kidding? I'm trying to pack light. I'm in, I'm out.
Yeah, it's very, very bizarre. And some people are very sweet, but they're like, hey, man, I know you love hiking. There's a hiking trail 25 yes. miles from my house. I'll pick you up at 6 a.m.
Yes, yes.
And I'm like, what are you out of your mind?
Yeah, you can sleep at my place. I got an extra room. My mom won't bother you. Like, what? I'm meeting your mom now?
And you're like, you've listened to this whole podcast, and you think I'm going to go with a stranger? Well, a completely unknown person. And most people, by the way, are like, there's a great trail.
Yes, yes.
Which is the best, and I appreciate it. But some of them, you're like, yeah, I'll scoop you up. I'll take you out. I'll pick your brain.
Yeah, we'll get lunch at my favorite place. You'll meet my parents. Then we'll go here. It's great. They think I'm rolling into town with like barrels of whiskey, you know, like pushing them. It's fascinating. But you know what it is? It's like they know we're weirdos, but they're like, but it's me though.
Right.
He'll want to hang out with me. You're like, no, we don't hang out with anybody.
I guess Voss golfs everywhere, so some people do it. He brings his golf clubs.
Yeah,
I just
guess
can't
so.
Be bothered to bring a thing.
No. I don't want to bring it. I don't even bring a toothbrush sometimes. I'm in, I'm out.
Anyways, but good question.
Yes, great question, and skateboard, hilarious. I also bring a pogo stick everywhere I go.
From David, what do you think of people who do stand-up as a hobby?
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Good question.
Mm-hmm. I don't... it's whatever. I get bothered when people who I perceive as half-assing it or hobbying it ask for favors. That's what
good point
makes me incensed. It just happened recently, and it made like Sarah was like, "You got to calm down." But I was like, "Why would I fucking be doing something? Why would I help you?
Right?
You're gonna shortcut to the front.
Get out of here,
you motherfucker!" But that bothered me. I don't know. I mean, if they're talking like comics or hanging out in the green room or asking for, if they're asking for favors, that's when it bothers me.
Yeah.
People that aren't around or trying want favors done. Hey, can I open for you? I've done three sets. I'm like, that I just can't abide.
Yes, that's crazy. Hey, I see you're at this big theater. I've been doing comedy for 11 minutes. I would love to open the show, and we'll talk about payment at the show. I'm like, wait, what? How'd you get here? How'd you get my number?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you on the favors. But I'm okay with the hobby. Go do whatever hobby you want. Just don't say you're like, don't call yourself a real comedian. And, I forgot my other thing. Damn it. Hobby, you can do the hobby.
Something's wrong with your brain.
Maybe. I got no recall. I stopped eating the gummies because I panicked. Total recall, yeah. But don't say you're a real comic and walk around and go, oh, yeah, I'm a real comedian. No. Your hobby. I like the hobbyists who know they're not going to make it.
Right.
As long as you're aware you're not becoming Bill Burr,
right.
We're good. It's the delusion that fucks with me.
Yeah. I think that's important. And yeah.
Yeah, I told you, I did this panel at Gotham, which was a shit show. But they were like, one guy would be like, so I have two jobs, four dogs, and 8 kids, but I want to do stand-up, but I just can't find the time. And I'm like, you're out. You're already out. And he was like, what the hell, man? It's kind of a negative outlook. And I'm like, what do you want me to say? If you were a comic, you'd go, kill the kids, throw the dogs in a river, and quit your job and do stand-up.
Right.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but like...
It's like...
you're trying to find some weird loophole here.
Richard Jenny said in an interview one time, anytime someone asks him for comedy advice, he says, you should quit. Seriously, quit. And he said, because if they quit, then they weren't doing anything.
Right,
and if
right.
they just ignore the advice from top dog Richard Jenny to quit, then they're fine.
Ah.
Like if someone, like one of the best comedians in the world goes that you should quit, and then you go walk away being like, what a fucking maniac.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm going to go to the show tonight. That's all the advice
that's
you need.
That's your comic, yes.
It's like a weird test. But if yeah. you're like, oh, maybe I'll quit, then it's like, yeah, good. You get out of here.
Yes, yes. When you want comedy to bend to your life, it's not going to work. You got to bend to comedy because it's the show's at 8.
Right.
We're not going to move it to your lunch break so you can do comedy.
It kind of reminds me of Sid Caesar famously would argue with the writers when they would pitch just to see how hard they would push their idea.
Oh, interesting.
And there's like all these stories of Mel Brooks being like, I'm telling you, this is it. And he's
wow.
like, no, you're right. I just wanted to make sure you believed in your idea.
I love it.
So that's...
Women do that, you know? They're like, they push and then you fight back and they're like, I just want to see where the line was.
Oh.
Yeah, that's like a thing women do. They don't even know they're doing it.
Anal.
Yes, they wish they did that.
Be nice.
All right, from Rebecca. With all the well-justified love for Julia Louis-Dreyfus... How come there's never been a mention of the new adventures of old Christine? The cast is unreal, and it's a show where Andy Ackerman directs every episode, who's another Seinfeld
he's
alum.
Big.
Just curious.
Who is the cast? I've never seen a wink of the show.
Well, first of all, I just never watched it.
I was going to say it's a sitcom. Who's watching those? But then so was Seinfeld.
Yeah, I mean, Seinfeld was just so special. First of all, I already said first of all, so I guess second of all, a director of a sitcom means nothing to me. It's not like a stylistic thing. I mean, it's just like it's a three camera shoot, and he's like Andy Ackerman is like, okay, let's go, guys, come on, all right, let's. What if we had you here? Like, I don't. Nobody is like. First of all, I mean, I keep saying first of all, like nobody. I mean, Tom Sharones was the director before. I mean, we're like Seinfeld obsessed, yeah, so I know these two names, but like no one's like. What's Andy Ackerman doing? We got to see the new Andy Ackerman. It's not like film.
He's not doing this.
Yeah, I don't like. There's not like a lot of like racking and swinging. I mean, I'm sure he did a great job.
Or
but, like,
a vision.
The writers and performers are really a sitcom to me.
Yes, yes.
I got the cast here too. It's Julie Louis-Dreyfus, Clark Gregg. I don't know if you know him. Trevor Gagnon, Emily Rutherford, Trisha O'Kelly, and Alex Capp.
All right, hell of an all-star lineup. You got
I just
here.
Never really watched it. I have recently watched a couple Veep episodes, Veep which is very good.
Veep is great. And she's great in everything. She's a beast. Mm-hmm. Veep is a killer.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm a Seinfeld guy. I never watched, you know, Bob Patterson either. So
no one did.
I think that Seinfeld is so... uniquely Seinfeld, but I watched. There was a lot of shit. I liked Mad About You a lot, and I liked Cheers. So I think I just out-aged Adventures in New Crusade. It was probably on too in the 2000s, where I was fucking drunk off my ass, and not sitting home. And we're comics. That's the real answer.
Right, right.
Seinfeld. We were boys home watching TV. Yes. What am I doing? I'm not watching an 8 p.m. ABC show. We're working.
And we'll watch Curb because it's on HBO. You can tune in later.
Yeah, that's the answer. We were working.
Yes, it's probably a great show. She's always great.
Yeah, she's
I'm sure it's not great.
Nah, I'm just.
She joined all the Marvel movies. She's part of those.
Really?
Now. Yeah, she's a character in all the new Marvel stuff. She's like a main bad guy.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Wow. Good for her.
All right, from Chris McGregor.
Sorry, I just got a text from Doug Key. He's like, I can't stop laughing about when you told Ruby he was dressed like Winnie the Pooh. I forgot all about that.
Yeah, mentioned that on the bus, on the train back, too.
Oh, Doug?
Yeah. He was like, that Winnie the Pooh line killed me.
Well, Ruby yesterday had some kind of sweatpants. They looked very comfy.
They were,
but they were like mustard orange, yellow. Yeah. And then he had a red t-shirt. He looked exactly like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah,
and they were soft, like a like a bear.
They were like carpety, like towelish.
But
you nailed it. He did look like the bottomless Pooh Bear. We should have given him a jar of honey to get his head stuck in.
Oh, that's one of those ones you wish. It's like I was talking about the industry. You wish everyone on the planet could have been there for that because everyone would be like, this guy's great.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
His girlfriend's Piglet. All right. Sorry. She's a plus size gal. But all right, we're going to keep it rolling.
All right. From Chris McGregor.
Hey, McGregor.
What other news sources you guys check to stay in the know?
That's hilarious.
Interesting. I look at a little Twitter. I read the headlines. I move on. I'm not going to lie to you.
I watch very little news, but I try to listen to Centrist podcast. I listen to Barry Weiss.
Yes, yes.
Honestly podcast. I listen to Coleman Hughes, and I listen to Sam Harris.
Yes.
And I watch, before the strike, Bill Maher.
Love Bill Maher.
I do that, and then...
Some YouTube I'd check out.
Yeah, and then, like, on Instagram, I follow Washington Post and New York Times, so I kind of see, like, oh, there's a headline. Okay, I'll read a few comments, but...
He's racist. He's a white supremacist. Got it.
Yeah, I do news I try to get from roundtable topic people that I trust as journalists, particularly centrist journalists. And I used to be obsessed with cable news, but I had to quit because I had a mental problem.
Well, it's all negative. A lot of it's lying and accentuating?
Exaggerating. Yeah,
it's a lot of bullshit. It's a lot of bias on left and right and up and down. And you gotta go with these independents. I do some Breaking Points every now and then.
I don't know Breaking Points.
It's a Republican guy anchor and a liberal lady anchor. And they get along swimmingly. We don't have to be fighting.
But those are the podcasts I try to listen to.
There you go.
But it's scary. And I try to stay out of algorithmic shit to not be too like, wow.
No, it's all toxic.
I avoid a lot of it because it scares me.
Here, here.
Nice.
There.
All right, from Dustin.
Dusty.
I've seen comedians shit on Rumors Comedy Club in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Have you guys played it? How bad was it? Would you play it again? Do you know why people are talking shit about it?
I've been there many times. I've done it three times. I mean, one reason they might be shitting on... This is one of those things that things get lost in translation. They might be shitting on the fact that it's Tuesday through Saturday or something. It's a long week, and it's not an exciting town.
No. And it's... Well, here's my two gripes about rumors. One... You know, I played there maybe three weekends, and you didn't sell any tickets, so they would do, like, Wednesday night is a charity night fundraiser for the blind, and you're like, can't. Half my act is faces and juggling, so that's not going to work for me. And then two, there's no green room, so they put up a changing screen or whatever you call that thing that folds, and you just sit behind there like a psycho and watch the audience come in and listen to him, and they're like, this guy, I saw him once, he sucked, I'll give him another shot. So you hear everything, so that part sucks. They said Norm, when he did it, he just sat back there and played card games on computer for 12 hours. But yeah, there's no green room, there's nowhere to hide, and you hear the audience shitting on you, and then Wednesday is fundraiser night for the battered women's shelter.
Yeah. Tyler's great, the owner.
Great guy,
and good hang. But yeah, I think you used to be in a condo. Last time I think I was in a hotel. It's not a great city. Or maybe it is, and I haven't been to the right place, but it's not an exciting city. It's very cold. It's a long week.
Yes.
They were the first club, though, I have to say, that had the digital clock counting up.
Ah.
So I'm forever grateful for that, which is amazing. And yeah, it's not an easy market. So, exactly like you said, they fill the room in other ways.
Yes.
But I think it's still a good room. The sound is good. They'll throw people out. The waitresses are very nice.
Yeah,
attractive.
Hot. Yeah, very hot lady. Hot women in that town, ugly men.
Yeah.
And all the guys there look like Chuck, and the girls look like Natasha Henstridge. And they're all fucking.
Sounds about right.
There you go.
From Albert.
Albie.
My question is for Joe. Why don't you do more shows in Northern California? I know your usual run includes Portland and some of the Pacific Northwest, but what about San Francisco, Cobbs, Punchline, Sacramento, San Jose? Come on.
I can see the wheels turning.
I know.
I mean, I did the Punchline last year. Mm-hmm.
You've done it many times.
Early, I think I did it like in May, and I'm doing Cobbs in September. September 9th and 10th, or 8th and 9th,
that's
I think.
Skip away.
So I'm doing it, and I've done the Sacramento Punchline. I guess it's been a minute now. I did it in 2018. First of all, remember that COVID knocked out fucking so many shows for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, I get this a lot. Why don't you come here? It's like, it's not like I'm opposed to going to these places. My agent sends me offers. It's like, there's a lot of comedians. There's a lot of markets. And some are much better than others. Like, I'm going to go to Chicago every 12 months. I'm not going to go to Sacramento every 12 months. It's just a bigger market.
And what are you going to, Humboldt? You know, what the hell's up in Northern California?
Yeah.
Fresno?
So I'm doing San Francisco. I literally just left San Jose. I don't know how to reach people, I guess. Because that happens to me all the time. Like, I've done Rooster Teeth Feathers a million times. I love Heather. I've done San Jose literally 3 weeks ago. I'm doing San Francisco in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's two trips to Northern California within 2 months of each other.
There you go.
And Sacramento Punchline, it was 2018 now. So it has been a minute, I guess.
I do have a guy named Ryan who kicks up my Facebook and all when I'm doing Denver. He'll like send a blast.
Right.
And I got Sam on him. He's not that expensive, and it's worth it if you want
to
use him.
I think they might have talked to your guy. We went with Nate's guy San Jose. But
okay.
It's hard to tell how much of a difference it made.
I know. It's tough.
It's so hard because I did Irvine, and then I did San Jose back to back. San Jose, I paid a guy a bunch of money to do ads, and I did way better in Irvine, but it's a bigger market.
Yeah.
The no ads, I fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
The ads, I also did well, but not... I made double in Irvine.
Yeah, it's strange. Did you find the San Jose crowds to be tough?
Let me try
that room, it's like an old theater. They turned into a club, and I felt it was a little distant.
A little distant, yeah. It wasn't as hot as Irvine, but it was good.
It's good. I love that green room with the lights outside. You can see the whole street.
I love Latinos, too. Latinos love us, and I love them.
The best. They
great
love
audience
comedy.
Members. Yeah. But, it did very well.
All right. I think we're cooking here.
Let's do one last question.
Okay.
Yeah, we got to run to the other show.
So this is from Twitter, at StormFather36. The Seinfeld reboot has been cleared for production. They decided to call you guys in to recast the show. Who is the new cast?
So we cast the old parts with new people.
Yes, and it says how must we update some stories to align with our generation? But that's too much.
And the phone
Let's
will
just do the recast.
Will fuck up a lot of storylines, obviously.
Recasting.
Yeah. Recasting Seinfeld.
Well, we did a shoot. You were Kramer, I was Jerry.
Oh, Stavros
was George.
That was fun.
That was good. I saw the photos. They look great.
Yeah, I've seen them too. For our secret, this guy's showing a lot of photos. By the way, I think Salicus, he's got your disease. He's mental.
Oh, yeah. He's Kramer.
He shows me all the photos, and then the next day, literally, it's like he's fucking with me. He's like, hey, keep this under your lid. Don't tell anybody, but check these out.
Right.
And I'm like, you showed me yesterday. And he had shown me before.
Well, there you go.
I think he's got a fucking screw loose.
Well, he's getting old.
It really is. I'm like, you just told me this. And I told you the story. I did tell you this, right? Now I've got a screw loose. Because I told three people. Mm. But I texted him. I'm like, this is a weird question coming from me because it's my office. But I'm like, do you know the address?
Because
I don't know the address.
This,
and then he's like, yeah, you come off Fifth Avenue, you take the elevator up. I'm like, I know that. I worked there.
Oh, yeah. So, the ladies at the front yelled at us because I guess the room was left really shitty on Monday.
Oh,
when you guys filmed.
We got it on the chin over there at the front desk.
They were like, you guys left trash everywhere. You moved all the vases around. You didn't put them back. There's
trash on the floor.
That's Salicus.
I know, but I didn't think he's on a trash lever. I didn't think.
But he's the director. He gets caught up. I think he gets caught up in this other stuff.
And
God.
He was mad about the suit.
Damn it. No, the suit, I was livid. He was like, it's fine. I'm like, it's not. I ruined the movie.
Right.
He's just like, so like, hey, he's got his Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, if it was reversed, I would have been like, you are fuck up, you piece of shit.
Wow. There you go.
But he's like, I'm over it already. I'm like, what?
No, he's
the movie's ruined.
He beats that kid of his. It comes out on the kid's face.
He's a sweet, sweet boy, but he's got some screws. He needs some tightening. What the hell's the question? Oh, recasting.
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I need a minute to think about that.
Yeah, that's tough. Who's Kramer? Are we using actors or people we know?
This Ronald person Reagan. Is, you know, insinuating people you know.
Oh, okay. That narrows it down a little bit. Because Ari could be kind of a Kramer.
I know, but he's not.
No.
He's got Kramer-y mentality.
Yeah,
where he's
like,
what if we moved to Thailand for 6 months?
Right.
And you're like, what?
But he's not goofy like that. He's not slipping and...
No,
like his hair on fire.
And he's much more mean-spirited
in
his humor.
Yeah.
But also quite giving and thoughtful like Kramer.
True. Salicus has some Kramerisms as well, but it does not the right look.
But we're talking acting.
Oh, right.
So who's you know who could play a Kramer? This is out there.
All right.
You're not going to love this.
Monez?
You're going to be upset with
me. Okay. I'm going tall and big hair, which I shouldn't do. I should look into the person.
I'm doing different. I'm saying Nate McIntosh.
Oh.
He could be a bit Kramer. He's a bit
that.
Like, whoa. He's like, I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Yeah.
This guy, and he's very smart, and he's very funny.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm telling you right now, we got to get this together, because otherwise, you know,
that's
he could
not bad.
Be Kramer-y. I mean, it's certainly he's got red hair, and he's pale. And
sure.
Kramer's tan. He's
Canadian.
Short.
And he's got that high-pitched voice, which... Kramer doesn't have, but it could work.
Yeah, because we're redoing the show.
Yeah.
So maybe a McIntosh.
I don't mind that because he's a little jittery and wacky. I would say George. I got two ideas. I wish they could blend, but Veter, short, bald, glasses.
Jew,
and he's a little like, God, this guy screwed me again.
Right.
He's got a little of that. He's not as conniving as George, but he's got a little of that in him. And then Donnelly... has a little bit of that, like, Jack, you know, I had to go to Queens. It was like a date.
He
hits the top of the cat. I can see Donnelly doing a little of that.
I can see Donnelly. Okay. Donnelly McIntosh.
Yeah.
Now we need a sassy, funny, sexy woman.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a Rosebud.
Oh, Rosebud could be Elaine. With the beer
black.
Over her shoulder.
Yes,
I can see that.
Yes.
Okay. She's now we're coming together.
What is that? Acid tongue.
And she has that sex appeal that Elaine has and needs, if you ask me.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, now we need a Jer-bear.
Jerry, well, of course you're a good Jerry.
I could do, I think I'm almost too goofy.
Right.
He's so
very
dry.
Stoic. Very dry, very stoic.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, he has to be less funny than the other three.
Yeah. and the worst actor.
Who's being Jerry? Jerry.
Yeah, did he say?
Maybe a Jared Freed?
Okay. Maybe a little too manly.
Vader could be Jerry-esque, too.
Interesting.
He's very smart.
Yeah.
He can be quite sarcastic and biting. Hanley! Hanley's your Jerry.
There you go.
And he likes nice things. He's very clean.
Yes, he's kind of gay.
That's a dunk.
Very neat.
Phil Hanley, that's Lady good. Hanley, that's a dunk.
That is good. We got it. Just lose the Grateful Dead, put on a purple button-down and some old jeans.
Yeah.
White sneakers.
Okay.
There it is.
Phil Look Hanley, Nate McIntosh, Sean Donnelly, and Rosebud Baker.
Boom!
That's a nice foursome.
Bada-bing.
Literally, a nice, I would like, wouldn't mind, you know, Hanley
yeah,
and...
Some good looking in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And two Canadians, mind you.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And one Prego. Elaine was Prego on a couple seasons.
Yes, with the pillow.
Nice.
All right. You
that
heard
was
it here
a fun
first,
one.
Folks.
All right, we got to run to We Might Be Drunk.
There it is.
Excellent.
Tune in for that one in a week or two, whatever. All right, call in if you have any thoughts about the tales and the thoughts, and put more questions in. We'll answer them eventually. Thank you, folks.
Appreciate you.